Today's scripture is from Luke 21, 5 through 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they ask, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." This is the word of God.
You may have noticed we live now, and we have for a long time lived in an era of planned obsolescence. That's when manufacturers make things with a predetermined, like, end date, you know, a predetermined date by which they will wear out. Now, some products are better than others. There's a top 10 list of the most durable things you can buy. Cast iron frying pan is one of them. Right? Can't beat that. A 1950s Singer sewing machine. If anybody has one of those, they last forever, apparently. Yep. And then, of course, there's the world's record for the car that has the most mileage on it. Anybody know what it is? It's a 1966 Volvo 1800S. Yes, it's got 3 million miles on it. Oh, yeah. I know I feel like I have 3 million miles on me sometimes, but not like that. Yeah. But you know, no matter how good a product is, no matter how good our plans are, all the things that we have in this world, nothing that we have really, can endure forever. We know this. We know that nothing that we have can endure forever, that everything that we can create, everything that we can make, everything that we can plan, all those things, they're durability challenged. And we have the weary bones, most of us, to prove that. We know that. So it's a good idea, I think, in life, and I think that God wants us to know this too. That it's good to hold on to the things of this life lightly. To hold them lightly. Because they will pass. And it's good instead to put some of our focus, a lot of our focus, a lot of our energy, a lot of our heart into the one thing that will last, Jesus, and the soul that he wants to build in you and in me. Now, in Jesus' day, there was one thing that, if there was one thing that everybody believed would be built to last, it would have been that temple in Jerusalem. By Jesus' time, that temple was in its third incarnation and its most magnificent. It stood hundreds of feet above the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It was built of huge stones of marble, many of them at the top, covered in gilt gold. They say that you could see that temple from miles around, that from in the distance, the temple looked like a snow-covered mountain just glittering in the sun. It was a fantastic testimony, a monument to what people can create, what people can make. It was also a testimony to the devotion of the people of Israel to God. Because this place, as magnificent as it was also the center of Jewish life, the Jewish religious life. There were legions of priests who maintained the splendor of this place. Thousands of them who facilitated the worship of all the people who would come and enter those courts, praising God and pleading for God's favor, asking for God's mercy, looking for God's forgiveness. And then in the interior of that temple, scores of priests would tend to the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was thought that there, in that place, was like ground zero for God's very presence on earth. Now we know, and many people then were beginning to discover, that God's presence on earth was actually walking around outside the temple in the person of Jesus Christ. And on this particular day, Jesus is walking around outside that grand temple with all of his disciples. And his disciples are marveling at the look of this place. They're marveling at those huge stones and the gold. And they're just marveling at what man has made in this testimony to God. And in that moment, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says a rather shocking thing. He says, As for what you see here, there will come a time when not one stone will remain on top of the other. Every single stone will be thrown down. Every single stone. Every year, I go on a little private retreat. I camp on the edge of Canyon de Chelly in northern Arizona in Navajo country. And this year I decided with a Navajo friend of mine, I would go down to the bottom of the canyon. And he showed me some of the hundreds of ancient Anastasi cave dwellings. Took me to one of them that's famous. It's called Sliding House. And Sliding House, like all of these cave dwellings, they are multi-story complexes of buildings built inside these shallow caves that are high up on the canyon walls. Well, my friend told me that when his dad was young, there were two sections to Sliding House. And that when his dad was a kid, part of that cave had collapsed, and that whole magnificent side of that complex, a whole magnificent building, had slid down into the bottom of that canyon. And he said, "There it is." And I looked, and it was a big mound of red dirt with little scrub brush and lizards darting in and out of the sun-baked rocks. Magnificent building. There it is. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples on this day. Everything you see, those giant stones, the gold, the finery, even the way of life, even the priests, even the whole temple system, even this way of relating to God, all of that is going to come sliding down. It's going to be thrown down. The stones covered by tons of sand and all of the rest of it. All of the rest of it. Lost in ages and memory. And Jesus is letting them know that it is because of his coming that this obsolescence is ushered in. Now, Jesus is predicting also a real event. An event that would occur 70 years after that moment. 70 years after that moment, the Romans would come into Jerusalem and they would unleash their wrath of their imperial army on that temple. And they would actually throw down those stones. They would destroy that temple utterly. But in a bigger picture, Jesus is telling his disciples and he's telling you and me that wherever he goes, the altars and the temples that we build, and there are many of them, they are thrown down. They're thrown down. They will not last. So it's best to hold them lightly. Now, we create all kinds of altars and temples, don't we? We have hundreds of them. I mean, they're everywhere. Our lives are littered with them. And they're not all bad things, but they're there. I had a Starbucks habit once. Anybody here ever have a Starbucks habit where you actually go to the place every single day? Oh, goodness. I went through a period where I would go to the Starbucks every single morning. And why not? I mean, you go in the morning, the aroma of the coffee is so awesome. They had this big, overstuffed leather chair, better than anything in my house, I guarantee you. And I sit down in that chair, you know, and the baristas knew my name, and they knew what kind of coffee I wanted, and if they weren't busy, they'd bring it to me. I mean, come on. I went there every single morning, except Sunday, of course. But then, you know, one day, I had to go out of town for a couple of days, and I thought I was going to start crying. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm in my motel room. I'm like, where's the Starbucks? What am I going to do? I don't have my chair. I don't have my barista. I don't have my stuff, my thing, my, you know. That's a little thing. I know, boo-hoo, she said. Thank you, Kathy. It's a little thing. But it just brought to my mind just how tightly we can begin to hold on to these things that begin to mean so much to us. Things that will surely pass. Of course, after I started seeing how much it costs to do that every day, you know, my wife actually helped me make that past, for sure. But you know, it's best to hold these things lightly. Hold them lightly. And these altars, these temples that we build, that we become so attached to, they're not all material either. I mean, we build altars and temples about the future, don't we, either? When we get so worked up about the future, we become so anxious about what's going to happen. Or we become fearful about change. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to make plans. We want to make everything work out the way that we want it to work out. But we can't do that. We can make plans. We can have expectations, and that's all good. But we got to do that with humility, holding those things lightly, especially if Jesus is wandering around in our lives. Because if Jesus is wandering around, he's going to start throwing down those stones. He might have better plans than us. So it's best to hold those things lightly. On the other side, we can get really attached to the past, start to really venerate the way things used to be. Now, I'm a big one for that. There are many things that I really think were better in the past than they are today, you know. For instance, why do I need a blowtorch to open up a thing of cough drops, you know? Why do they do that? What happened to paper? Anyway, it's good to look at the past. It's good to learn from the past. It's good to honor the past. But when we become so tightly holding on to that past, well, we run the risk of missing what God is doing in our midst right now, what God is doing all around us right now, the blessings that he has out there. We begin to run the risk of removing ourselves, not really appreciating his story that he is writing right now. So it's best to hold the past lightly. And hey, the same thing goes for the present, especially as it pertains to self-fulfillment. This is such a big thing today. We're told in so many ways in our culture, we're told so many ways that we are the center of everything, that our happiness and our self-fulfillment is the point of life. We're told that we are individuals that are so autonomous, we can come up with our own truth, we can create our own self, we can create our own little world independent of other people. It also opens up a whole idea that we can use everything around us, including other people, for our self-fulfillment, for our gain. Well, if Jesus is walking around in our life, I mean, those kinds of temples get thrown down immediately. Jesus has a completely different idea of what life is about. He says that we exist for God, to worship and to praise God, and to love others in God's name. In the spirit of what the Apostle Paul said, and dig this is like mind-blowing, right? He says we should do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things, in humility, see others as better than ourselves. That is a completely opposite message of what we receive, but that's what Jesus tells us. And he tells us that acknowledging that we are not built to last, we will pass. And so even our own desires, our own needs, our own opinions sometimes ought to be held lightly. So what is built to last? When I did children's ministry, I'd always get tickled at how quickly the kids would understand that almost any question I asked, the answer was Jesus. But the truth is, you know, if you follow a question long enough, the answer generally is Jesus. And it certainly is in this case. Wherever Jesus goes, when we allow him to start wandering around in our lives, wherever Jesus goes, he's going to start prying loose those stones, those altars, those temples that we create and throw them down. But in his mercy and in his goodness, he will rebuild. He builds new. He builds our souls into being a temple that will last, built with stones. Stones like his truth, the truth of his love, his sacrificial love given for every single one of us. Stones like the power and the goodness of God that endures forever. Stones like his compassion that brings out of us a desire not only for our own good, but for the good of others. He takes these stones and builds in us a temple of our soul that is truly built to last. Down at the canyon, there is a spot where I like to sit, where I can see across the canyon. On the other side, there is one of those cave dwellings, and I've often sat there and thought about what it would be like to live like that and why it was they chose to live that way. And looking at it and thinking about it, it isn't that hard to figure out. I mean, down at the bottom of the canyon, there's a stream and there's rich soil there. You can grow things, corn, peaches they used to grow, and they would bring those things up to their cave dwelling. The rain falls regularly up on top, and that rainwater leaches down and comes into those caves so they could fill cisterns of water and have water inside their cave dwellings. Their cave dwellings were eminently defensible. Any attack from above or below could be easily repelled from that cave dwelling. So they had security. They had sustenance. They had so much there. There was only one downside as far as I could see. And the downside was you had to live in a cave. You're living in a cave when up above is all the magnificence of God. 360 degrees of endless sky, stars, the breeze, horizon. Yeah. That's God. That's God, His temples, His altars, His plans, His love for us. But we can only grab onto it if we're willing to hold everything else just a little lightly. All those things that are destined to pass away, and instead hold fast to the one thing that will last, Jesus. And the soul that He wants to build in you and me. Built on His love, His compassion, His power. Souls, temples that are built to last forever. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, oh God, for the way that You plant Your vision inside each and every one of our hearts. The way that You lead us to want to reach out for You. Help us, oh God, to reach for You with open arms and understand, oh God, just how much You love us and how much You want to rebuild us into those temples that will last. God, we praise You today. We ask Your blessing on each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.